Source Elements on the Mic, a brand new weekly series of conversational but thought-provoking podcasts with Mike Ayton, leading voiceover artists, post-production mixers, and music engineers. A heady mixture of audio opinion, observation, learning, philosophy, reminiscence, and downright humour. Muse, audio, and remote working with Mike and his guests. Stay well connected and treat your ears to Source Elements on the Mic.
Hello and welcome to Source Elements on the Mic with Mike Ayton. Today, my special guest, it says on my script, brackets, victim, is Jai Santiago from Atlanta. So today I will be jiving with Jai. Jai, hello, and how's the weather in Santiago? Jai, hello, how's the weather in Atlanta today?
The weather is good. It's nice. It's sunny. It's cool. Fall, autumn, so it's not hot. It's not too cool. It's kind of just right now.
Oh, luxury, as they say. Right, I'm going to start off and let our listeners get to know you. As a mechanism for getting to know you, we're going to ask you our little introduction, which we call...
What's your source?
Which is a series of very quick questions. You must answer within 5 seconds, and they must be short and succinct. They're very silly questions, but it'll enable us to get to know you and have some fun. So, question one, what is your favourite biscuit?
Chocolate chip.
Okay, are you Mac or PC?
PC.
Starter or pudding?
Pudding.
Okay, analog or digital recording?
Definitely digital.
Okay. Do you play the guitar?
No, but I love people that do.
Ah, because my next question would have been Strat or Tele. Okay. Because most sound engineers are also guitar players. Or many are, anyway. Favourite microphone for voiceover? Going to have to hurry you.
Gosh, there's so many. I like the Rode.
Okay. Your DAW of choice?
Adobe Audition.
Okay. And what's the most recent music that you bought?
The most recent music that I bought. Oh, my gosh.
It's a hard one, that. Because it's not something we do very often.
I know. It was a jazz soundtrack from this TV show called For All Mankind on Apple TV Plus.
You like jazz, then. Tasteful man. What's the most recent software that you bought?
Oh, wow. The most recent software.
That you're allowed to publicly tell us.
McAfee.
Okay. What famous people have you met? Or who's the most famous person you have met?
The most famous person I've met.
Apart from me.
The most famous person I've met. Probably Janet Jackson.
Ooh, okay. And what are your favorite studio monitors?
Let's see, my favorite studio monitors. Dell.
Oh, okay, sorry. I meant as sound speakers. You've taken it. how naive of me to instantly think everyone knows what I'm talking about. Surely not. Yeah. Good answer.
You meant speakers.
Yeah, I did. Okay, I'm going to change that question to speakers.
Sonos.
Okay. Mountains or beaches for holidays?
Mountains with beaches.
Okay. Ooh, interesting. I can see we're going to have fun today. Preferred headphones?
Preferred headphones. Sony.
Okay. And what's your most hated colloquial phrase? I'll give you an example. Mine is people who say anyways.
By the way.
Okay. And your favourite compressor? Or favourite plugin?
RX Elements.
Okay. And which studio would you most like to visit or use?
Which studio?
Do you have a dream recording studio?
I don't know the name of it, but I would love to record in a place where... oh my gosh. Jimi Hendrix did his last album, his last studio album.
Oh, Electric Ladyland.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
Good choice. Okay. What famous person, alive or dead, would you most enjoy a night out with?
Tom Hardy.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Mine would have been Robin Williams, I think. Interesting that we're both crossing the pond with each other's choice.
Yeah.
Okay. Who would you most like to have recorded or worked with?
Dead or alive?
Either. For some, there's not much difference.
Yeah, right. God, that's a tough one.
I'm gonna have to hurry you. If you don't know, say pass.
Prince.
Oh, Prince. Okay, interesting. Last person I interviewed also said Prince as well. Favorite actor?
Of course, that would be one. Wow. Oh my gosh. There are too many. I'm allowed to.
You're allowed to.
That's not easier, Mike. I'm going to say Morgan Freeman and Jeffrey Wright.
Ooh, okay. Cool. Thank you. That finishes up our quickfire question round. So that's.
What's your source?
Nice.
Source Elements.
Okay, let's talk about your career path now. How would you describe your current occupational position now?
I would describe it as very chaotic in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Because you span different genres, don't you?
I do. It's all over the place. Everything from commercial to promo to some longer form things like audiobook and like everything in between.
Okay. So you're essentially self-employed and freelance rather than staff anywhere? Or...
I actually am staff somewhere. But interestingly enough, it gives me a lot of flexibility. So it's worked out really well.
Okay. And you have your own studio?
I do.
Whereabouts is your studio?
In my office in my home. I record in a studio bricks isolation booth.
Okay. How would you describe your job to someone who doesn't know our industry particularly well? Let's think in terms of your voice acting career.
Yeah. I would tell people that I spend a lot of time in a padded box talking about things with the potential of getting paid or making a living from it.
Sounds very good. How would you describe your job to those who know the industry well?
Describe to those who know the industry well.
I didn't tell you today was going to be easy.
I'm a voice actor. I'm a voice talent.
Okay. Right, let's start off with your background. How did you start in the career?
It was completely random, to be honest. I used to work for a pretty big hotel resort chain. And I was a senior marketing manager at the time, and my boss wanted me to, in his words, work on my executive presence, because I was doing a lot of presentations and things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm naturally shy. So I wanted to do things that would kind of get me out of my shyness or help me with my shyness. So I was doing things like Toastmasters, Speakeasy, where I would get up in front of people. They tape me and I do these speeches or presentations. And I'm like, what else can I, what else can I do to get rid of my stage fright, basically? And I found
is it more shyness or is it more stage fright? Because they're not quite the same thing, although they can obviously have an overlap.
I'd say it's definitely a mix.
Okay,
it's definitely a mix.
Did doing so help?
It did. I was lucky enough to find a voiceover studio. Here in Atlanta, that really, really, kind of put me on my, gave me like a great foundation and helped me in a lot of ways. And it just kind of went from there.
Did you have a mentor relationship with someone?
I wouldn't say mentor, but I definitely leaned on the studio or school here in Atlanta a bit. just in terms of, you know, ongoing training and workshops and things like that. It's been really, really good.
So would you say your method of learning has been a mixture then of on-the-job training plus some sort of academic type foundation courses and structured training? So you've had a sort of a cross mixture of both.
It's definitely been a cross mixture of both. Because initially when I started, I did, the intensive training, and then afterwards, I did like my first demo, and then I just did these random auditions, and I wasn't doing any training. And so my training, and I'm using air quotes, was me just, auditioning for these random things.
Auditioning.
And, then I was...
The hardest audience, in a way.
Exactly. And it's like there were no bites at all, like nothing ever came of it. But I was practicing. And then I took a step back, took a pause, and I did more, formal training, more script analysis, more commercial things, more promo things, getting like specific, mm-hmm. Specific things, to work on and get better at. And that was really the difference for me, honestly. Once I started back with the training, things definitely, they took a pivot or a turn.
Okay, so experience and then some initial training and then having further training in which to sharpen your experience or to understand effectively your experiences of the workplace.
Exactly.
Okay, so what is it you most enjoy about your job?
I love that, from day to day, you never really know what you're going to get. You could get something that's, you get a corporate thing or something that's supposed to be really fun and like youthful, or something that's supposed to be really elegant and luxurious. Like it's so different and kind of all over the place. And that's really what I like about it. Like it's never the same from day to day.
Okay. Well, and what would you like to do more of and indeed less of in your career?
I would love to do more, I'm not going to say polish, but like more of the luxury spots, the travel to destination types of things, or, the luxury products or things like that. I really like
a discerning gentleman.
Right. what will I like to do less of?
Yeah, what's the churn? Every job has its equivalent of postage stamp licking.
Right. Not that I'm not a fan of it. Like I love it. I don't think I'm very strong in it. Is animation?
Okay.
Character voices, to be specific. They don't frighten me. I'm just not really. It's not my strong spot.
Okay. And are you actually doing now what you thought you wanted to do, or is it what you've ended up doing?
I would say yes. And just because, like, for me, like, I'm very young in my career still. So I feel like, at this point in time, I'm definitely doing what I set out to do.
Okay. And what advice do you think you would have for the next generation or those who might be starting out?
Train. You can never get enough of it.
As in John Coltrane? Yeah. Sorry. I'll get back in my box.
It could be.
Yeah. Was he the jazz saxophonist who notoriously got laughed off the bandstand as a teenager and then went away and practiced 12 hours a day and then came back 2 years later and absolutely blew everyone away because he'd done so much training that no one could touch him? It was the end of saxophone as we knew it.
Stage.
I believe so. I think it was Coltrane, or maybe wrong, but I have a feeling it may be. But then,
oh man,
I'm 55 and half senile, so don't take anything I know for granted. Okay, so what sort of personal qualities do you think are best suited to being a voice actor?
You got to be flexible and adaptable. You have to be. Somebody like me who is typically, I've always been like by the book and pretty rigid in terms of like process and method. And what I found is, you have to be flexible and adaptable to change and just be ready to kind of, morph into different situations when it calls for it.
Okay. So, because it sounds like from now having talked to you for a little while, I get the impression that there can be quite a sensitive side to you. You're quite in touch with your sort of emotional side as a man. And some men come across in that way and others don't. I get the impression that you can be quite sensitive in a complimentary way.
that's very perceptive. Yeah, I tend to wear my emotions on my sleeve. And I think it helps with some of the reads that I do.
Mm-hmm. And how do you take directorial criticism? How do you find you respond to it?
I'd say I take it pretty openly. Like I said, you have to, because I've always looked at everyone that I'm getting direction from. They're there in that capacity for a reason. So I take it with an open mind.
So you like to be able to listen, absorb, and then expand on.
Exactly.
And add your flavour to what's being asked.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay. What do you like or dislike about how you learned and the educational process in your industry? For instance, if there'd been such a thing as a degree in voiceovers, or voice acting, would you like to have studied that, for instance, or at a university? College, I believe you call it.
No, knowing me, like, I probably would have, because, most people don't know that a voiceover is a voiceover, that's what it is, until they get into it and they start doing it or they know someone that does it. If there were a degree in that, I probably would have gone that route, me just being me. What I liked about the way that I started... when I found Atlanta Voiceover Studio, they immediately put me in the booth, and I was recording on. I was on the mic and taking direction from the engineer, and I thought that was awesome.
Okay, do you find that most sound engineers do have good creative input, or do you find that something the suits and the creatives behind them tend to do with your sessions?
Oh, I always thought the engineers are gods. They definitely know, like, what they definitely have an opinion on what sounds good, or they can kind of, give a nice redirect that you're not even thinking about. And it's kind of like an aha, oh, I didn't think about that.
Okay, that's good to hear, because sometimes it's when you're this side of the glass, it can be difficult to know whether. Sometimes the part of the skill of running a session is to know when to put your hand up and say, I've got an idea here that may help us, or to know when to sort of hold back because the creative behind you doesn't like that. I've never really asked anyone the question in the booth, what's it like for you when you hear an engineer chip in? Is it like, oh, God, here we go, the sound engineer is giving his 10 P's worth?
Well, it's always interesting because, I was in a session the other day and, we'd done all these different takes and versions. And so the creatives, they were like, what else differently could we do? We've got all these different versions. And so they were asking the engineer. And he was like, he's like, well, why don't we try, X, Y, Z? And they were like, yeah. So, it's, the engineer, I feel like, always has, you know, always has a nice, you know, redirect or, you know, an option that you can try. At least that's been my experience.
So you think a different perspective sometimes, maybe? Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. That's good to know. Thank you. So which YouTube channels or Instagram accounts would you recommend for people who are trying to learn or indeed people who are experienced to pick up good tips? Is there anyone in particular that you follow, that you like, that you can recommend?
I follow Atlanta VoiceOver Studio. I follow Trailer Voice Artists. I follow Real Voice LA. Let's see, some others off the top of my head. I'm blanking.
No, it's not easy when someone puts a gun to your head.
I know.
But in general, you are actively listening to other people and still searching always for other things.
Definitely, because it never ceases to amaze me. Like, you know, in each of those accounts that I just named, they're following, you know, people, and it kind of like, it's kind of like going down like a rabbit hole almost, because you find people or the artists or other studios and engineers that you just weren't aware of. So I kind of like use those as like a blueprint or like a jumping off point, and then kind of, you know, look at what they're looking at, and it just kind of goes on this endless dovetail into things.
Okay. So what nuggets do you think you learned early on that have stayed with you, almost like mantras?
Nuggets.
In your career? Yeah.
Some of the basics, like the technical thing, or not technical things, but I guess common sense things. Make sure, you know, you're getting a lot of rest, you're staying hydrated, you're eating the right things, you're consistently training, being nice to the audio engineers.
Oh, you can so come again. You are so welcome in my studio. This is music to my ears. Okay. What advice would you give to your younger, ambitious self?
Don't be afraid to, you know, do something that isn't by the book.
Can you give me a good example of something where you think you've gone outside your comfort zone and it's worked for you?
Definitely. Like I said, you know, you were asking about, you know, if I would have done a degree in voiceover, if that were a thing. And I said, you know, knowing me, I would have. I've always, you know, done things by the book or how they were supposed to be done. And I've always, the flip side of that is I've always had a creative side. And I've always wanted to, I've always found joy in creating things, you know, that didn't exist, or putting my spin on something. So what I've found is with anything that I've done by the book, I've found a way to put a creative spin on it.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. If you suffer what you know, every creative person can have creative block or repetition syndrome, where you think, oh, you know, I'm struggling to reinvent the wheel for this one. What do mm-hmm. you find that unblocks your creative block for you? I mean, I'll give you an example for me. As a sound engineer, my hobby is photography or playing the guitar. And I find that if I'm struggling sound-wise and not feeling very inspired, I will often go off, tinker with some of my pictures in Photoshop or whatever. And then it gets me creatively excited. And then I do that for 20 minutes or so, and I get all sort of, oh, look, I can do this. Isn't this fun? And my creative juices start flowing again. And I put that down, go back to sound, and suddenly it's easy. And I feel inspired again. Is there something that works for you in that way?
Oh, yeah. It's music. Like, I'm always listening to music. always. Like, I get up and I immediately turn it on. You know, it's, you know, playing throughout my home throughout the day. And at night when I'm going to sleep, like, it's all is constantly on. And so when I definitely have, like, a creative block, and I'm, like, if I'm trying to create something, like, some original content, and I feel like I'm being repetitive, I definitely step back and I just, you know, listen to whatever's on at the time and, you know, take a while and I come back and, you know, that kind of gets me going again.
Okay. And do you have a particular music genre that's your favorite?
Or, ask the hardest question. It's really all over the place.
We want to challenge you on this podcast.
I know. I love jazz. I love, I don't know if you call it, like, I guess, like, adult alternative contemporary. I hate boxes and categories because some artists, they kind of blend, like, these genres.
Sure. Are you thinking sort of snarky puppy sort of alternative jazz or?
It's like I told you, like, I love a nice guitar riff, Zeppelin or, like Hendrix.
What's not to love?
I know. I'm like, you know, what's not to love about those guys? I just, anything that can, like, I can just really, like, just kind of, you know, bob my head to, just kind of, like, you know, just kind of relax to. I love it.
Do you listen to much improvised music? As in,
I don't actually.
Okay. It's not everyone's cup of tea, jazz. I love that quote. What is it? What's define a jazz musician? Someone who's willing to put 10,000 hours worth of experience, get in a car, drive 300 miles, go and get paid £15 to play to three people.
That's pretty accurate.
And there you have it. That's jazz.
I love it.
The world is a melting pot of ideas. Connect to the Global Creative Village. Collaborate with class-leading synchronization, audio, and picture. Innovative, affordable, and flexible solutions with enviable support. Be a part. Create together. Source Elements.
Okay, right. Let's get geeky. It's time to get geeky now. So, talk me through your home studio setup. You said you're a PC man.
I am. PC for sure, just because I was on Mac for a while. Like, I say a while, like, you know, it's been a while, years ago. I don't know why, but I just kind of migrated to PC and just kind of never went back. But my studio space, I'm in a Studio Bricks. It's the VoiceOver Edition isolation booth. It's a one, and my audio interface is I'm using a Adobe Audition with Scarlett
2i2
and that's pretty much the setup, really.
Okay,
it's you know, nothing elaborate, pretty simple.
Okay, and are you presumably Windows 11? Is it?
Yes.
And do you have a sort of relatively standard graphics card, or?
Pretty basic.
Okay. So which microphone are you on?
I'm on the Rode NT1.
Okay. Do you have a pop shield or do you have a, like, a filter?
I'm using the pop filter that actually came with the package that I got.
Okay, let's now ask the $64,000 question.
Uh-oh.
Because studio chair, because sitting is the new smoking. Everyone stands these days to perform or stands to work in their studio.
Yes.
That is everyone apart from me. So are you a stander or a sitter?
It depends on if it's short or long form.
Okay.
And I'll tell you a funny thing. So actually, yeah, I totally stand to get, because I like to move and I use my hands when I'm reading. But if I'm doing, like, the longer form things, like audiobook, I definitely sit.
Yeah.
And I have, like, you know, like a standard bar stool. But for the longest time, it just didn't dawn on me that, you know, maybe I should get a cushion for this thing.
butt cushion.
And, exactly. And so, like, I got one, like a few months ago, and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Eureka.
I'm like, why have I not done this before? It was, like, it life-changing.
Yeah, I can imagine. So you haven't gone down that sort of Herman Miller Aeron chair route sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Of orthopedic chairs or anything? Or
no.
Not tempted. That's probably because you're young and agile. When you're an old croc.
Young and agile. I'm not that much younger than you.
Okay. You're too kind. How has the global pandemic affected your work, have you found? What's been your experience of the last 18 months?
It actually enhanced it and, like, helped it. Right before the pandemic, and this is... Right before the pandemic, you know, you had to be in a studio or have, like, a really nice sound-treated space to record in. But for booking things, like, you know, more times than not, you know, the creatives wanted you in a studio somewhere. And so the pandemic changed that because you couldn't go anywhere and everything was, you know, shut down. And so you had to... recording your own space. And
yeah,
like right before the pandemic, we downsized our home. So, you know, I lost my bigger space. And so we have a much smaller footprint now and everything's on one level. And interestingly enough, as fate would have it, our neighbors on either side of us, one couple, they play for the symphony orchestra. And so they were giving lessons, you know, out on the front lawn. And the husband does a lot of woodworking and he was always, you know, sawing or sanding or drilling.
Yeah, yeah,
and yeah. I'm just like, so it's like it never failed. And, you know, no matter how I tried to treat my space.
Yes.
It just, you know, it wasn't working. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm like, I've tried acoustic blankets and, you know, the foam and, you know, the pads and, you know, the sound from the outside was still getting in.
Yeah, all those sorts of things control the acoustic of your room, but the only way to literally stop other things getting in or out is either mass or
exactly,
space.
Exactly, exactly. And ultimately, you know, I stumbled across Studio Bricks, not realizing it was as popular as, you know, as they are. And it helped immensely because, like, once the pandemic, like, really hit, all of, like, the auditions, like, increased, you know, threefold. And the opportunities present themselves threefold. So long way to get back to your initial question, like, how did it change things? I would say
you got busier. Yeah,
I definitely got busier.
Before the pandemic, what percentage of your work, you know, as a rough back of fag packet guide, was remote?
Before the pandemic, like very little, like maybe 2%. Like it was almost 90% or more. It was always in studio.
Okay, and during the pandemic, it's been up almost 100%. Has it?
Definitely.
Okay, and how is the Atlanta area sort of coping now in its COVID times? Are things beginning to slowly open, or are people still keeping studio spaces closed?
Studios are definitely open, and definitely, I mean, people are more open to having people in studio if they're, you know, if they're vaccinated or, you know, they're testing negative. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's definitely opened up a bit since it started, for sure.
Okay. How do you personally find working remotely?
I love it. Is it something I absolutely love it.
You love it. Okay.
And that's what I love about, like, I've always known about Source Elements and Source Connect. You know, from the time I started, I've always known about it, but I'd never used it. And, you know, once I, you know, started doing things, you know, remotely, I'm like, I need to get on this and see what it's about and see how easy or, you know, challenging it can be to use. And I absolutely love working remotely.
Oh, that's good to hear. I'm glad we can facilitate it for you. And how do your clients, do you think, find working remotely? Do you think post-pandemic or as the pandemic tails, do you think working remotely is something that's here to stay? Has it become more attractive to people?
It's definitely more attractive to people, and it's not going anywhere. It just makes it easier, especially with everybody being essentially global everywhere. Like, it makes it easier. I was working with an engineer who was in Barcelona, and you know, Source Connect allowed that. Like, it makes it easier. So like, it's definitely not going away.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Worry about our pensions. Okay, because at Source Elements we have a philosophy that when we're apart, making things together helps us stay connected as human beings and creating a bond. How do you feel about this?
Oh, I love it. I mean, because like when you meet or you network with somebody who's in a completely different geographic region, I mean, the perspective can be the same sometimes, and it can definitely be different. And it's just nice to be able to kind of create and collaborate with somebody that's, you know, on a different wavelength than you are. I love that part about it.
Yeah. Can we describe your workflow in some more detail? How are you using, obviously, Source Connect for us to be able to talk today? Are you using Source Nexus at all, or?
I am not. And actually, once Source Elements started doing the certifications, I was like, I need to get on that. In transparency, like, I'm using it in a very elementary or basic capacity at this moment, knowing that there's more that I could be doing with it that I'm only unaware of.
So you'd like to learn more, like how to use the queue manager and all these sorts of things, and how to integrate it with Picture and...
Oh, definitely, for sure.
Okay. Well, people, go check out the Academy. Go get certified.
Absolutely.
I'm just certifiable. That's all I'll say. What advice would you pass on to someone who's trying this remote workflow for the first time?
I would say, you know, keep an open mind and embrace the possibilities that, you know, a remote workflow will allow you to do. I think someone trying it for the first time will be definitely pleased with the outcome.
That's good to hear. Thank you. Are there any potential pitfalls to avoid, do you think?
Pitfalls to avoid? For sure. I would say when you start out with, you know, Source Elements, making sure you connect with the team to do your port mapping and things like that, as opposed to, you know, not doing that unless you're really uber technical and you just know what you're doing. I'm not a sound engineer or, you know, a techie guy. So I definitely leaned into all the help that I could get, you know, setting up initially. And I would say, you know, that would be the pitfall. Because, you know, once you're in and you're connected and everything is good and you're doing your echo tests and things like that successfully, I would say you're pretty golden at that point. And I know some people just may not be aware of that.
Okay, thank you. What would you say is your top ingredient for the recipe for your personal success?
Persistence. I mean, you just you have to keep at it. No matter what, you keep going. You can get in your head a lot of times. I've been guilty of, you know, doing a few takes on, I say a few takes, a couple of takes on an audition, submitting them, and then, you know, listening to them after the fact, after they've been submitted, going, oh, I should have done this, or why didn't I do this? It's, you know, you got to do it, let it go, and go on to the next thing.
It's interesting you say that, because
I would
because
say,
as a sound engineer, I've always thought that there's the old maxim that mixes are never finished; they're merely abandoned due to transmission.
I like that, actually. I like that.
I've always said to any trainee that I've ever taught or anything, the day you don't think you could have done anything more is the day you've run out of inspiration or the day you've got conceited. And we all think, oh, I could have tried, I could have done more, I could have done, if only I'd done that, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think, for me, that's what drives me. Is it similar for you, where you always think, yeah, you do what you do and then, you know, there's always the desire to do it better.
I mean, for sure, definitely. And you always take a little bit of things from the past and you kind of, you know, they evolve into, like, you know, something new or something different. Because there's always that, you know, oh, why didn't I do that? Or you listen to something, you know, like we talk about, you know, when you're creating something and you get like a mental block or something, or a creative block, and you step away and, you know, and for me, like, I'm listening to music and I'm like, that's nice. Maybe I should try something like that. And you come back in and it just puts a different spin on it. I mean, so it's always constantly creating and being open to, you know, doing something better than you did it before.
Yep. It's that desire to always achieve. Mm-hmm. Okay. What would be the thing you would most like our listeners to take away from listening to your interview?
I would say, listen to the voices around you and find the beauty in everything you're listening to. Know that there's an emotional connection to what's being said, to what's essentially being read, and the delivery in it, and just enjoying the beauty in that delivery.
Okay, so what would you like as your audio epitaph?
I can't say I have one.
I'm not dead yet. Yeah,
I know. I'm like, I don't want to put it out there. Then something happens. I would say, always continue speaking, always continue talking, always continue telling stories. Always be flexible.
Okay. So, is there anything you'd like to sort of say in terms of your frustrations with the industry, in terms of, you know, the union, non-union? I know that's a big thing in the States, sort of thing, with technical engineers. I don't know if it is with voice people, but certainly in the UK, some people I speak to seem to sort of get slightly cross with the devaluing of talent that can occur. Do you have any opinions on that?
I kind of go back and forth. Because I'm not in a union, and it's given me the flexibility to do things for both. But there definitely comes a point when you have to join. So I feel like because I'm not in a union, I feel like, you know, my perspective might be a little different than most that are. I mean, I definitely see there's definitely some beauty being in a union, obviously, with the coverage and the benefits and things like that, and the opportunities. On the non-union side, the flexibility to just do tons of things is, I found it to be really, really good for me. Just in terms of experiences and getting to work with different engineers and different people, different creative teams.
So for you, it's a sense of paradox then.
Yeah, yeah.
You see advantage in it, but there's also advantage in not in it as well.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, I go back and forth. It's like, you know, should I join? Should I not join? You know, do I need to join? And at some point, you know, I will have to. Because, you know, you get to a point and, like, you know, you have to. But I go back and forth. Just because, like I said, you know, being non-union, like, you have the flexibility to do so many different things, and you're not limited to, you know, not being able to do something because it's non-union. And so that's kind of how I feel about it.
That's how I am on many things. Many things in life are grey. They're not black or white, and there's paradox in a lot of situations.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about rates in the industry? Are they maintaining their sort of... Is it that you don't feel there's a... Do you feel... Is there a race to the bottom in terms of with competition or...?
I think, generally speaking, I think the rates have been pretty reasonable. I mean, you get the, you know, again, you know, being non-union, you every now and again you run across a series of rates that are, you know, not standard or, you know, just not copacetic. But for the most part, I feel they're on par.
Okay. Some people argue that there's when there's too much competition, you get this sense of a race to the bottom where everything becomes the lowest common denominator and every client's trying to avoid talking to your agent and wants to go direct. And can you do this for $25? And you kind of go, no. I mean, we have...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, you...
We have the same in the sound.
Yeah, I definitely... I definitely go no.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely not. I'm like, you can talk to my agent about that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah.
Do you find having an agent protects you from a lot of those awkward conversations?
Oh God, yes. And you know, it's for sure, we talk about starting out and just auditioning for in and everything you can get your hands on, and then, you know, getting representation and getting quality auditions, which has meant a world of difference to me personally. So, I mean, definitely having representation helps. It totally helps.
Cool. Okay. Is there anything you want to get off your chest now? you want to tell the world?
Oh gosh! Oh,
or is it like, please make this lunatic go away?
No. Get off my chest. There's so much that I want to get off my chest. But I'm going to be politically correct.
You don't have to be.
Listen to more. Nothing. I need to get off my
chest. What drives Jai bonkers?
Yeah. Short guitar riffs. I want them to be longer.
Oh, music onto my ears. Yes.
I want them to be longer.
Oh, longer and louder. Yes. More amps at 12.
For sure. Yeah. For sure.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been really fun talking to you and very, very interesting as well. And it's great to have a very different perspective from the UK perspective and one from yourself, and I've enjoyed getting to know you and hearing what you have to say. It's been fun. Thank you.
No, I've enjoyed this very much. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so how can people contact you or get hold of you if they would like, if they love the sound of your voice and the cut of your jib and they wish to work with you? How would they get hold of you?
I'm on Instagram at JAI_Santiago, and my website is my name with no spaces.com.
And those are the best ways of getting hold of you.
Definitely, yeah.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thank you very much for your time.
Source Elements on the Mic was recorded using Source Connect. Source Elements.